Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello and welcome to another Video Games to the Max, the official video games podcast of W2Mnet.com. I am your host, Sean Garmer, and here with me, as always, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
And this is episode 184 of the show, and of course we're also in partnership with 4Mania.com and Last Word on Life. And, well, it's been a little bit, but...
Yeah, about 2 weeks.
Yeah, God. Work has not made things fun, but hey, you gotta pay the bills and everything, so. Dog has been getting sick, and I'm hoping he doesn't have one of his coughing fits while we're doing the recording right now, because they can go for a little bit. So, yeah, but at least you've been playing some games, so.
Oh, yeah. I finished Ni No Kuni 2 and Far Cry 5, and I beat SteamWorld Dig 2.
So any final thoughts on Far Cry 5? I've heard you're not the only dissenting voice about the story.
No, it's really bad, and it like the ending is bad. It just kind of goes nowhere. And I don't understand why they don't have you play a character.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Like, they did that in the past two Assassin's Creed games. Like, I think Syndicate really didn't have it, but... like, Rogue and I think AC Unity... Like, you were playing, like, a first person... No, AC4 had it, not Unity. But, like, the present sections, you were, like, a first person tester at, like, the company, and you were walking around solving puzzles that way, and it feels like the same thing in Far Cry 5, where it is like a nameless person. You create a character, but it doesn't matter at all in it for anything. Like, why not just give you like a gender neutral name, like Chris or something like that?
Yeah, it's weird that they go away from that to do the credit character thing that makes it feel like you don't matter to a game like that, but
yeah, the gameplay reasonably held up. Me and my friend encountered some glitches here and there, but it was okay. Yeah, it's like if you have a partner, it's perfectly fine, but if you're trying to play that game solo, I would say play Far Cry 4.
Well, I mean, but the game is still fun, right? Like, the gameplay is still what you like about Far Cry, just the story is not good.
Yeah, but you no longer have to hunt. They changed the skill point system. Like, you don't have experience anymore. They just give you, like, a task of, like, challenges, and Wolfenstein 2, which I've also been playing. So it's like, you know, get 10... handgun kills, or get 10 like shotgun kills, and then you get like 2 skill points, and you buy whatever you want in the skill tree menu.
That sounds exhausting.
Well, there are like these little prepper stashes, like these little like 5-minute like dungeon, not even dungeon, just like 5-minute like little vault things, and they always have like a few little like perk magazines in there to give just give you free perk points, which is helpful.
So, I mean, you would say that it's not as good as the other ones, then?
No, God, no. Like, it's, I would actually say it might be somewhat below Far Cry Primal, which is really depressing when you think about it.
Far Cry Primal was still good, though.
Yeah, but people didn't like it because, you know, it's such a drastically different take.
Right.
Which is understandable. Like, you're not shooting guns and you're not, you know, blowing shit up in that game. But, five, it just doesn't change enough. And the things it does change, I don't think quite work well. And then, like, having the really terrible story doesn't help anything at all.
That's very sad, considering how much the story was a huge part of the promotion and everything else.
Yeah, they were hyping up the story like crazy. Like, oh, it's, you know, it's going to be like you and American soil and all this other stuff. And it's like, you encounter the lieutenant, like the three siblings, more than you do the bad guy. And it's like, that's... Something went wrong with the writing of this game. Like, if you think about the bad guys in Far Cry 3 and 4, like, they were, like, in the game, you know, all the time. Like, the guy in Far Cry 4 is calling you constantly to make fun of you or taunt you. And this game has, like, nothing like that. Except for, like, these weird drug trips you keep taking.
Yeah, it just sounds like, for the most part, just kind of disappointing considering how much people were really looking forward to the game. It got delayed for a month and then seemingly just there.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's not terrible. I think my final review gave it like a 6 out of 10. Like, it's well made, but it just feels very shallow, which is like one of the more damning things you can say about a game, really.
Yeah, especially one like Far Cry that has so much to do, but then, yeah, you realize how quickly, without the substance, it kind of feels, like you said, shallow to go through that. And it'd be different if it was something new, but it's really just a lot of the same, and then you're cutting out one of the main reasons why you're playing the game, too, so.
Yeah, like, I have all these, like, side missions to do, and it's like, why do I need to do them? You don't need money in the game, really. And I already completed all three maps, and I'm not going to get any experience for this crap. So what's the point?
Exactly. So any final thoughts on Ni No Kuni 2, another game that has a lot of side quests?
Yeah, I gave that a 7, maybe. It's better than Far Cry 5, I think. The story kind of ends somewhat haphazardly. But it's still fine. I was able to finish this one. I didn't finish Ni No Kuni 1, so points up to this game. Yeah, it's good. I just think, like, it's just missing the charm and the heart of the first game, which is, like, the worst thing about the game, because it's mechanically way better than the first game by miles, but it's just, like, doesn't have as many memorable characters or, like, the good anime sequences or, like, the voice acting that makes it, like, this special game. So that's kind of the biggest drawback to Ni No Kuni 2.
Yeah, because you can get a lot of characters, right, in the game from...
There are 100 characters you can recruit to your castle.
Yeah, and what, like, Evan and Roland are, like, the only two important ones?
There's a party of, like, 6 characters, which is kind of, I think, low for an RPG, like a modern one these days. Maybe that's just me. But yeah, everyone else, they work in the castle. Like, they work the shops or, like, you know, the weapon store or something, stuff like that. They gain experience and skill points, or experience and, like, new skills. And, you know, you get benefits from, like, doing research topics, like, with buildings and stuff, but... I mean, I think that's the most fun of the game, honestly, but it's also a huge time sink, because it's just like waiting for counters to either go up to get currency or to go down to complete the research job.
Is it easy to, like, figure out which person needs to go where?
somewhat. Like, some jobs require, like, special skills. And, like, when I was, like, first playing the game, it's like, I don't know where that skill is. Or, like, I don't know how to get that person. But, like, once you progress pretty far in the game, you pretty much can unlock everyone. Almost. Like, after you complete the game, it loads you back into, your save. And it's like, okay, here are 5 more characters for you to go grab, and now you can, like, do the post-game dungeons and stuff like that.
Well, that's good, at least. Does it feel like they can do a sequel off that, or would it have to be another...
Oh, yeah, I think they could. Well, like, Ni No Kuni 1 and 2 are pretty disconnected. Right. Like, there's only, like, very... There's, like, one little puzzle area that's, like, pretty... It's, like, directly from Ni No Kuni 1, but aside from that, like, they are... barely connected. I think if they wanted to make another one, it'd be cool. The battle system's great. It's really easy. Like, I barely died in the game. I beat the boss. The boss is like a level 70 creature, and I'm 51 and I beat it.
Wow.
I was like, all right.
So it never gets hard, even on... And you're playing on, like, normal, right?
Well, there are no difficulty options. It's just normal. It just is one, you know. Hmm. It can get occasionally difficult, but never, like, you know, if your main character dies, like, you just swap to a different character. And then you have, like, you know, restoration potion, you know, restoration items and stuff like that. So it's like, all right, I can just restore this guy and go back to him.
Yeah, because I think they overcompensated for the people complaining about how grindy the first game was.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's still an element of that in this game. Like, there's a level 95, extra boss. And to beat that, you have to keep replaying the last boss of the game over and over. Like, I saw some guide, and it was like, oh, if you can do it... it took me 6 hours to beat the boss over and over to get to level 95. And it's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm cool. Thank you.
I will be skipping that for sure.
Yeah. But, I think it's a good RPG. Don't get me wrong. But, like, it's just not memorable. And I didn't like the first game at all. But I still remember, like, Mr. Drippy, you know? Or, like, the... thing you have in this game, like the little Lisa Simpson looking demon thing, barely says anything and is just like a non-character almost.
Well, that stinks.
Like, he says like what the flip constantly and that's about it, and like some British accent, and I'm like, alright.
Didn't Mr. Drippy say have his thing?
Oh yeah, but he actually talked too. Like they had like some Welsh comedian do his voice. So that was like very, it was sounded different. So that was impactful. This guy, they have like, had him play like 20 lines. And that's about it.
Well, that's a problem with the game in general. Is it took a lot of that out.
Oh yeah. Like there's one character who says like 4 or 5 lines and I'm like, that voice is unique. Like I would like to hear more of that character. And that was it. And I was like, oops. Well, I wish I had written that character's name down. Cause I guess I won't be looking her up on IMDb or anything.
Yeah.
But it's a good game. Like, I would say if you can get it for like $30, go for it.
Yeah, I'll definitely wait till it's down in price and go after it for sure.
I would say it's probably better than like most of the Tales games, but I don't like them too much because they have a really weird battle system.
Well, it does take a little bit of the battle system from Tales, so.
Yeah, but you're not like doing like the directional inputs for like special moves, that's the weird part in Tales for me.
Yeah, I don't really particularly like that either. Like, why are you making it difficult for me to do the moves that I need to kill these bosses?
You're only pressing up on the D-pad, you know, to get close to a boss, and then it's like, what, I'm going to have to press right and B to like do my special move? It's like this is
playing
bad.
A fighting game. Thanks. So you were also playing SteamWorld Dig 2, which...
Yeah, I just beat that. It was good. Yeah, I mean, it's better than the first game by a lot, I think. Because burned out of the first game quite a bit. But the second one's good. I didn't get it. I didn't get everything at all, but still had fun.
It's still a game you can go back to whenever if you want to go get stuff, you know. So.
Oh yeah, I might, but I don't. There's no achievements or trophies on Switch, so why bother?
Very true. One of these days, maybe.
And the last game I probably talked about is Wolfenstein 2. Like, it's really weird.
Really weird in.
What? It took out a lot of the stealth mechanics of the first game, which was my favorite part.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And it's hard.
Yes.
Like, I'm stuck in this. I played it for like a few hours and got pretty good at it, or like, you know, okay. And I shut it off and I stopped playing for like 4 or 5 days and I went back to it and now I'm completely stuck because I'm in this like top of some New York building and I was like, hold off the Nazis. And I was like, I barely know how to play this right now and I'm getting swarmed by guys.
Yeah, I had to lower it to the like second lowest difficulty to play through the game.
Yeah.
Because also, it was like ridiculous.
Also, I think, I don't know if I told you or not, but because you got the game for me, it was on sale, and then I paid you back, like, it was on sale for, like, one day for, like, $12, which is great. Yeah. And I installed the game, and I loaded it up the next day, and, like, the first 5 minutes, every character looked like they were irradiated. Like, they were bloody, and the skin was peeling off, and I'm like,
were they turning into zombies?
No. Well, kind of. Like, I forget her name. Like the first, like the character, like the character who dies, Caroline. Oh,
okay. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's Caroline or not, but like, she gets, she gets killed pretty quickly. Like every character looked bloody, and like the skin was peeling off, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm like, this is like even the flashback to when he was a kid and his mom and dad like are like look like burn victims. And so does the dog. And I'm like, what the shit? Like I looked at like YouTube and I was like, is this normal? And like, I was like, no, it's not. And my game was glitching. I guess, my video driver was like out of date or something. So I spent some time like upgrading it and, you know, reloaded it and it was fine. And I'm like, oh, this looks a lot better. They don't look like Holocaust victims now.
Yeah, really. The game's bloody enough. You don't need the extra.
Yeah, like even when the dog and like your dog in the flashback, like it was like looked like horribly scarred. And I'm like, this isn't normal. Like, yeah. What's going on here?
This is weird.
That's it for me. You playing anything? Or
I am not. I probably could tell you what animes I'm watching more than what games I'm playing.
Yeah, we're both watching Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, we're both watching Dragon Ball Z. I finished all of Dragon Ball. So
I will not be watching that.
I watched all the movies, the 4 movies. So yeah, I really like that series.
You're watching the Funimation like online store thing, right?
No, the app has the uncut.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're watching through the app. That's what I meant.
Right.
Yeah, I got the Blu-ray set. That's pretty helpful. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that. It looked really cool.
Although it comes with 9 Blu-ray seasons of Dragon Ball Z, and they forgot the dust cover to one of them. I was like, thanks a lot, guys.
That looked, you could tell the difference, certainly. Yeah. Certainly in that picture. Yeah, I'm in like episode 41 of DBZ right now, so.
I'm about maybe like episode 70.
Okay.
Like, I'm not talking, like literally the last episode I watched, like Goku finally turned Super Saiyan, so.
Well, I'll probably be there and. I don't know, probably at the end of the week or something. It's different being able to watch. Like, I watched some of it as a kid. Some of the things, like, I remember, you know, and then, like, I go back and it's like, wow, so much stuff that you learn. And then, like all the little callbacks to having just now watched Dragon Ball. And you do realize, like what you pointed out, but like I'd already seen it from the Dragon Ball. They just continue it in DBZ of like how much they just
like perv on Bulma.
Perv on Bulma, and then how, you know, Master Roshi just continues to perv constantly. At least he's consistent, you know? So that doesn't change, and yeah, just lots of like I enjoy all the characters. Like I didn't realize how much I liked all the characters until I, you know, really got to sit down and watch the show. So
yeah, and the other anime we both been watching is Persona.
Yeah, and Persona, which is pretty much like a fast forward version of the game. So don't watch the series if you have any inclination to watch play the game, because you will have the whole story spoiled for you. So just letting you know that, pretty much. But yeah, I have liked it so far. It's an, like, the number two was a really great, I thought, like, encompassed everything you kind of like about Persona. Like, it has the characters. You get a little nice view of the battles with some of the demons. You get the Ryuji getting his, which thank God he's much more tolerable in Japanese. Or in this, he's much more tolerable than the English version of his voice. So, yeah, I like it so far. I mean, they really can't go wrong. The story was great. So, I mean, if you're following that, you just get to add in the terrific animation. And only thing that's kind of sad is you don't get to hear a lot of the awesome soundtrack. But I guess play the game for that, or just hear it on YouTube.
Yeah, it'll be probably in there, you know, eventually.
Yeah, it's in there some. Like, you get to hear it here and there when they go into certain parts. It's just, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Like, I just like that, you know, you don't get, like, all the, it's like as if you're playing the game without a tutorial. Like, I like the fact that, like, you're in that rest area, but they don't have to tell you, oh, now you're now in the rest area. If you play the game, you get to, like, figure out, oh, okay, this is where they are when they, before they go outside and go back into the real world or whatever. And yeah, Morgana's already there.
Yeah, you get to see Morgana perving on Nan for a few seconds. That's always funny.
That too. So, yeah, I mean, there's our anime we've been watching for this week.
Yep, so, there's your anime update.
I mean, plus all the big series are back. So, like, you know, My Hero is on again, and Food Wars is on again. So it's been fun to watch those and all that. So speaking of another series, people are really excited to show up again at some point in 2018, as long as they don't somehow screw it up and delay it again. Kingdom Hearts 3 had another trailer. This time it was very short, and it was to show off their mini games. So apparently there's a classic kingdom, and you go in and play sort of like Game & Watch, like Tiger Electronics, handheld games. Like, literally they look like those games.
Yeah,
you never seen before.
Like LCD games.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see, but I don't know that you needed to have a trailer for this. Like, I could have just done with, oh, hey, these are in the game. Kind of cool.
Yeah, that probably would have been a better surprise, but I can't imagine they have too much game, like, new gameplay stuff to actually show off, so.
I'm pretty sure we'll probably see, like, the Frozen world at E3, and then that's where they announce the release date. Because I feel like you can't not show the Frozen world. As much as I like to be surprised by it, I feel like Disney would be like, we have to show this because you could get little girls and moms and daughters to want to buy the game if they see it, which they're not wrong, but
no, the ending shot will just be Sora with the Keyblade, and he'll strike up against three, like a set of three claws and then a lightsaber, and that'll be how the trailer ends.
That would be great too if they do have a Star Wars land in there, but I don't know.
Well, Star Wars and Marvel.
Yeah, you gotta leave one of those without showing them. Like, if you have both of them in the game, either show one or maybe don't show either one, and it'd be cool to see. But I don't know. Disney's really bad about wanting to show off everything before the freaking game or movie or whatever comes out. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. There's a lot of time between now and I'm sure this is a fall game. There's no way this is not a fall game. So yeah.
I would say this is probably a damn near winter game. Like I envision like December.
Would not be surprised at all. Didn't the other games, the remixes, come out really close to? One of them came out in December. The other ones might have come out close to then, but they got a lot of time until then. I'm pretty sure they will reveal a heck of a lot more, and why not? It's a series everybody's been waiting for, so any kind of little thing you can put out there, people are going to be eating up at this point. Another game that's got, we got a few, released, I mean, did you find out the release dates for the...
Well, Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man has its release date. And Spyro. Which, Spyro, we talked about before, was pretty much like, almost like a done deal. We're just waiting for it to be announced, pretty much. The interesting thing is it's coming to both PS4 and Xbox One from the start, and not just PS4. So, if you're one of those that only has an Xbox One, which I know a few people on our staff, actually, they're probably like the only two people that I know. But they can enjoy Spyro as well, so...
Yeah, yeah. Spyro is September...
21st.
Yep.
And it's $40, so not bad. I'm a big Spyro fan.
I'm not a big Spyro fan, so it's like, alright, someone else wants it, feel free.
Yeah, I'm not gonna rush out and buy it or whatever, but it'll be on my list of things. Something I will rush out and buy, though, is Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Which comes out 2 weeks before Spyro. September 7th.
That's probably the biggest game left of the year for me, honestly.
I'm surprised it's coming out in September. I thought it would be a later game, like October or November game. So that's good. They get that out there pretty early. People get to enjoy it, and then you can have your fun with the more holiday releases.
Avengers is coming out. The movie's coming out later this month. Right?
Right, yeah.
So you have to imagine the DVD of Avengers might be out in September, October.
Yeah, that's true. They'll have some kind of Easter egg for it as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, if you buy both, you get $10 off. Or if you buy Avengers at, Walmart, you get this coupon for the costume and the movie costume in the game or something like that.
Yeah, that could be true as well. I'm sure people would love to have that in there. You get the free DLC. I'm excited for this, hoping that it's the next like big series as far as the superhero games go. Batman's been doing it for a while for that, but Spider-Man needs to make a return to form. They did have some really good games of the best.
Yeah, I mean, like the first Batman game was like one of the best games ever. Really, but those other Batman games were not. And like Arkham City and Arkham Knight were okay, but they didn't have the good factor that Arkham Asylum did.
I liked Arkham City a lot. It's just after Arkham City, I felt like they had a really tough task to try to compete with those two games, and Arkham Knight was always going to be difficult for them to, plus they focus way too much on the
car.
It's like, yeah, really? I know people wanted the Batmobile, but I don't think they wanted it that much.
Yeah, they didn't want it to be the whole focus of the game. And that's what I really felt like in spots. Like there were more boss. Did you pause?
No, I didn't. I was just putting myself on mute. The dog decided to freak out.
I heard the dog coughing in the back a little, or like heaving or something.
Yeah, he's like at night is when it affects him the most, it seems like. Because he's like in rest mode.
It seemed like the boss battles in Arkham Knight focused too much in the car. Like there was a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, travel around the city, go find extra missions, you know, fight, all that. Don't necessarily need to go around in the Batmobile constantly. Thankfully, won't have that problem with Spider-Man, I'd imagine. There's going to be, obviously, DLC for the game, too, so expect the season pass or something of that sort.
Yeah, but they said no microtransactions, which is pretty good.
Well, thank you, Sony, for being smart and understanding that's probably not a good thing right now.
You'll have to pay $1 in-game money to refill Spider-Man's web cartridge.
I think I would be like, nope. You have just soured me on Spider-Man.
Yeah. I could see EA doing that, but not Sony.
I think EA would be smart enough not to even utter the word microtransactions at this point. We did talk about Far Cry 5 earlier. It is the fastest selling game of franchise history. As far as its opening week goes, the company says that they earned $310 million US dollars in the first week, doubling the opening sales of Far Cry 4. And it's the second biggest launch ever behind The Division. I think that's kind of expected, right? People were excited for Far Cry 5. They did a great job promoting it. You bought it. It's not like you can take it back.
Oh, yeah. But I think once they get through, like, after 10 hours, they'll be like, I'm going to go back to playing Siege or Wildlands or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. But, hey, Ubisoft gets their money, and perhaps the bad press might get to them where they don't make as much as they expect.
No, I mean, this game's obviously, you know, doing well. But you just gotta wonder about the DLC for Far Cry 5 with the Vietnam and the Mars stuff.
Yeah, and then probably won't be getting the Game of the Year hype that the other games have gotten too.
Oh, God, no.
At least you hope not. Anyway, there are people that have really liked this game for some reason. The thing that makes me sad, because we actually have a review for this that I'm still editing. And I feel bad to know that he's not making any money off this game. The Gone Home developer, Johanneman Nordhagen, who developed, of course, also the Where the Water Tastes Like Wine, an indie game about looking through American history, sort of like taking a road trip through it. He has made $0 from the game so far. It doesn't mean that the game hasn't sold any money, but he's had to spend any money that's been made from the game paying out collaborators and, you know, staff and all that. I guess you gave him points for that, right? He didn't just take the money and not pay his people. He paid everybody he's supposed to pay, and sadly, this is what happens with indie games sometimes.
Yeah, the guy who made Polybius, I forget his name. Oh, what's his name? The guy who is Tempest, the Lamasoft guy. Damn it, Jeff Minter, that's it. Like, he tweeted, like, I've made $0 from Polybius being on PSVR. And it's like that. I could have told you that would have happened initially, like, before he put the game out. Like, this isn't a huge surprise, dude.
Yeah, for every, like, I mean, that's the thing, though, right? Like, the VR games that sell well usually have some kind of, either it's Sony attachment like Moss, or, you know, it's a big franchise like Resident Evil 7 that has like 5 million sold right now. Probably some of that's due to the VR in it. And, you know, but that game was really, really well made for VR. It's a horror game in VR. I mean, how can you go wrong there? It's Resident Evil going back to its roots. I mean, most games in VR are not going to sell.
Well, yeah, just because, like, the headsets really aren't out there yet still. I mean, there's like a million out there, but compared to, like, the, you know, 20 million PSV4s out there, it's like that's bad. And then it's also, you know, a matter of like the cream of the crop. Like, it's not like you can get, like, a demo. There's no demo stations, or you can't, you know, most games don't have, like, a, you know, try before you buy thing. So it's like, oh.
Yeah, and I feel
there's also just not a ton of PSVR reviews.
Well, not just that. I think also, like, think about it like this. I mean, the games that you're hyping, what, Doom VFR and Skyrim, and these are old games at this point.
Yeah.
Like, especially Skyrim. Like, you know, Skyrim has a name, but I think people aren't just dying to play that in VR. If they played it there, they're going to play it the same way they played it before. You know, Doom probably looks cool and everything, but I can also see where it could probably make people nauseous. It's just, I think the problem is you lack a lot of first party, like big time initiative to PSVR. And I mean, I think that's good that it's selling. And I think, you know, they keep dropping the price, and they can keep dropping the price all they want to, but you're still asking people to shell out $200, $300 for an extra peripheral that they don't really need. Think about how many games you could buy with that instead.
Yeah. And that's the problem at, companies have always had with like peripherals, like remember the Sega CD?
Yeah, the Kinects. You know, unless you make it necessary, like the, you know, that, I think I'll give Nintendo credit. Every time they made some kind of change to the Wii remote, and you had to spend that $40 because you couldn't play the latest whatever Wii remote game or ones that came after it because it needed that extra peripheral that you had to pay for. So
I mean, yeah, but also those games, like, there's only, like, four games. Like, it's same thing with the new 3DS. Like,
right.
What, three games? It was, like, our only new 3DS exclusive.
Yeah, but a lot of, like, the games did play better with that Remote Plus or whatever if you had it.
Yeah.
But I mean, and then plus you've got the, if you bought the Move controllers, which I mean, you don't need them, but some of the games do work better with them. It's so annoying to have to use those as well. So,
yeah.
This is where I wish we had Daniel on, because he has one of those and I know he likes it. But again,
I'm sure if I had it, I'd like it too, but it's not something I really need to invest in, and if I was, I'd get a Vive because my computer can handle it, and there's more stuff on the Vive I'd like to mess around with.
Yeah, and I mean, I would like to check out Moss. I'd like to play Resident Evil 7 in VR just to kind of see what that's like, but I don't really feel like there's that killer game that, oh my god, if I don't play this right now, you know, like, I'm not saying that we need to have a God of War VR or whatever for that to happen, but I don't know. Maybe it's somewhere down the line if this ever takes off, but I feel like it's not taking off as much as they wanted to, and that's going to keep being a trend, honestly.
Right.
Still sad for Mr. Nordhagen, to not make money off his game that he spent a lot of time making, you know.
Yeah, and it seems to have gotten decent reviews, but, I mean, the other real problem is that Steam is so clogged up of crap right now that barely anything kind of like I said earlier, kind of reaches it to the top.
Yeah, it's a very unique game, too. It's not something that, like, jumps off the page, like, my gosh, I gotta go play this right now, you know? It's very niche. So a lot of the indie games that you see come out and do great things has some kind of hook to them, or some easily, at least you can get into it in one way or another. This really doesn't, so.
Yeah.
That's one of those sad things. The same thing with, you know, this game has a bigger name attached to it, but still didn't do very well. For obviously has competition that probably made it difficult for it to do well. But Lawbreakers is done. No surprise there, really. This game has just
bombed horribly. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, great that you're admitting that you haven't talked about the game, and
I think the one.
Go ahead.
Go on.
No, I'm just saying, like, Cliffy B's not happy about it either, and he's upset that, like, I guess they're trying to get rid of the people that helped work on the game with him and everything. But what does he expect at this point?
Well, I haven't played the game because it's $30. Like, that's one problem. Like, I don't think most people on the PC front they don't really buy shooters that much anymore, you know, that aren't Call of Duty or, like, have a name attached. And a lot of the marketing for Lawbreakers was centered around him, and he's a pretty divisive figure. Like, I think he's an okay game designer, but he's kind of a jackass a lot of the time.
Yeah. I think credit to him for trying to do something different, and he's always outspoken about things that, you know, the game industry needs to do to change. Whenever he's the one that went out and made a big deal about E3 needs to die, and
saying, like, Lawbreakers is supposed to be like a $1 billion franchise or something like that, and it's like, yes, your player kind of 80 players is really gonna make that happen.
Yeah, especially when you have PUBG and Fortnite Battle Royale come out and just absolutely decimate your player base. That doesn't help you either.
Well, don't worry. He's copying that idea right now.
Exactly. He's going to offer a free early access Battle Royale shooter. Yeah.
Dude. Called Radical Heights? God. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's called Radical Heights. And listen, I mean, Fortnite's already starting to take over PUBG, and people thought PUBG was going to be unstoppable, and they're sitting here talking about wanting to support PUBG for 20 years, and, I mean, that's great and all, but I think at some point you're going to get to the... Look, you're having Red Dead out of Battle Royale into their game, and that's Rockstar. They're not stupid. They're doing it for a reason. I think at some point you're going to get people going, okay, we're not going to just jump to every Battle Royale game that comes out. You know, they're going to stick with the ones that they've been playing. So,
well, it's the same thing that happened with MMOs, like when WoW came out and EverQuest 2 and all that stuff. And then you had all these people trying to make, like, you know, the DC MMO or like the Star Wars MMO. They did it okay, but no one really cared about them. And the same thing happened, you know, 7 years ago when MOBAs came out, like with Dota 2 and League of Legends. It's like, okay, those are the two one people care about. And then you had all the other crap that no one gave a shit about, like the DC one again. And like the
Heroes of the Storm is hanging on.
I mean, that has a name behind it, obviously, and like the characters, but that's about it. Remember the Dead Island MOBA? It's like.
Or was it the Paragon or whatever the heck?
Yeah, that's another one.
That did not go well. Like, the Star Wars MMO is still going, right?
Yeah, but that's after they shifted to free-to-play, and, you know, that's why it's still going. Like, if people have tried to pay a monthly subscription to it, it would have been closed years ago.
Right. You know, I mean, again, best of luck to...
I think it's really desperate, like nakedly desperate. And from what I've been like listening to and seeing like about the game, like it's barely functional, but of course, like, the, you know, the in-game store is fully functional, but, like, textures are missing from the game, and it looks, like, very Spartan. It looks like a barely above a PS2 game. So it's like, yeah, I can, you can see where you're putting your time and focus into this game right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously they stopped caring about it after people were just not playing it, so... I don't think this will do well at all, but hey, I guess...
I think it'll do well because it's free to play, and it's on Steam. Like, if Fortnite was on Steam, I might give it a shot, but I'm not going to download their stupid launcher to play it.
Well, a lot of other people have.
I don't know about you. I've gotten like 5 or 6 emails from like Epic about my, you know, Epic game. Someone's been trying to hack into my Epic Games account. And it's like, well, unless you guys want to play, you know, Shadow Complex, that's all I ever use that account for. So feel free.
I don't even have an Epic Games account, so.
Good, yeah. I've gotten 6, I've seen people get like 20 emails from Epic. It's like, holy Christ.
That would get on my nerves pretty quick.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about MMOs. The latest WoW expansion, Battle for Azeroth, is actually officially going to be released on August 14th. So, yep. Not that long from now, and comes out before all the craziness of the fall. So that's a good idea for them to kind of get out there while it's still sort of summer and, you know, get the hype behind it and see how many people you can retain after that. Are you excited for this at all? Or?
Yeah, because I play in a PvP server and they're getting rid of those and I can't wait.
Are you interested in this story? Or?
I don't care about the story. Like, that's never really been one for me. I mean, I'll probably get the game from Adam, I would assume, because that's where I got Legion from. And yeah, I'll play it. So, I mean, I'm playing WoW right now, so.
Yeah, it lets you keep going with the WoW you've been playing, so hopefully it, you know, improves the game as most of the expansions do.
Yeah. There's been a few that have been iffy, but.
And they've been doing pretty good recently, so.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a reason to. They have to keep that player base from dwindling even more. But
yeah, but I mean, it's been 14 years since that game came out, and it's still going fairly strong. So
that's amazing for that. It's absolutely crazy that game is still going, and it's like, man, how old this game's 14 years old, and so much has passed in our lives, and it's still going.
Well, there are kids who are probably playing it now who weren't alive when the game came out.
Yeah, exactly. That says something right there. And the fact that they're, like, you know, letting you have a vanilla WoW and everything. So you can go back to playing it during that.
Yeah.
How it looked during that time, too. Final Fantasy 15, of course, is still going as well.
That'll also last 14 years.
Yeah. They won't even have a Final Fantasy 16. They'll just keep milking Final Fantasy 15 for all they can. So, you know, there was supposed to be new DLC episodes coming out at some point this year, but apparently not. It's not going to come out until 2019. Good Lord. These better be some amazing freaking episodes, all I'm going to say.
I mean, you played more of the DLC of Final Fantasy 15. What did you think of it all?
I love the Igneous one, like, because he is so fun to play with the,
okay. Go on.
Well, no, I like the Prompto one, too. It's different. The gun play is not great, but I liked his story, I think, the most, because he has one of the more unique stories, and Gladius was
boring, kind
of more the same. Yeah, that's boring.
That's the one I played, and I was kind of bored to tears by it. I'm like,
yeah, it's really all right. The Arden, I like Arden as a character. I think getting to know more about him is, that's interesting. The Luna Freya one looks like it's basically just, here's Luna's backstory and what she had to deal with, like from her perspective, what you dealt with in that time period that you meet her in the game, which again, I guess is fine. Like, if you really want to know, again, this is where they, I think they messed up by putting too much of the story into the movie, because that's kind of where you learn way more about her. But, you know, that's already done and dusted. We can't really go back and change any of that, honestly. They're adding an ending with Noctis, so...
They'll release a version of the movie where it's playable.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. If they milk it that badly that they'd be like, oh, hey, you can just play the whole movie. Why not? Are you interested in any of these? Or?
I mean, I probably won't buy it, but it's funny because when Final Fantasy XV got released on Steam, they're like, this is a definitive version. Should have put an asterisk next to it and said, yes, except for the DLC coming in 2 years from now.
Well, are they going to include that in the season pass, or are they going to charge
you
more for it? We don't know.
Oh, they're going to charge you more. This is costing them money to make, so of course they are.
Yeah, probably another $25, I'd assume. It's still not too terrible.
Maybe 30, because this is 4 episodes, so...
Yeah, that's true. There's also going to be some kind of Tomb Raider and Final Fantasy XV crossover.
I think, they're also spinning off Comrades into some, like, standalone thing, which is like, all right.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. But yeah, the Tomb Raider Final Fantasy XV thing is dumb, but I may give it a shot.
Yeah, they're supposed to release more info about all this in about 10 days, so we'll see how that goes. I mean, I'm fine with going back and playing Super Final Fantasy XV. Just don't know why we got to take so long to make it, but all right. Again, just better be freaking awesome if you're making people wait that long. Speaking of making people wait, Sam Fisher, still don't know if we're getting, and maybe this means that we are officially getting a Splinter Cell game this year. That's a rumor that came out that we talked about. He's going to show up in Ghost Recon Wildlands.
I think it might even be here, because it was supposed to come out like a few days ago. Maybe. Yeah. I think it came out like 2 days ago or something like that. But you get like a bunch of Splinter Cell gear in the game if you do the mission.
Hey, are you going to... Does this make you want to get Sam Fisher and...
Well, now that me and my buddy finished Far Cry, like, I still got to help him with his Far Cry 5 game, but like, we'll probably both load up Wildlands and do that.
Yeah, there you go. Get some Splinter Cell gear and go to Bolivia and hunt down stuff. Just watch out for the...
Predator?
That and the high altitude that you're going to be in. Mega Man X, we've talked about this about... 3 or 4 times, I feel like. But the Mega Man X Legacy Collection, of course, is coming out split because Capcom wants to charge you and make money. Something Capcom has been made no secret about. They want to make money off of their old stuff, and they will make you pay for it if you want it. In July... go ahead.
You know, it would help them if they made their new stuff... better, so that people bought that instead.
Yeah.
Except for Monster Hunter. Like, their last few games have stunk.
Yeah, RE7... It's like they make one good one a year. RE7...
And that was last year. I mean, that was a good one. But Street Fighter V was a disaster, and Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was another disaster.
They made good on Street Fighter. They're in Marvel vs. Capcom, they've obviously just put that to pasture. And it's probably not just Capcom. That's also Disney getting involved and kind of screwing them a little bit. And then the licenses screwing them too, maybe, that they couldn't have X-Men at that point. But yeah, ever since Capcom announced that they were going to do stuff with their old games, them hoarding out all this doesn't surprise me at all. But July 24th, you can get all the Mega Man X games if you want them. Just get ready to pay $40 for all of them. Or just pay $20 for the split of X through 4 or X 5 through 8.
And, between the two, the first X1 through X4 is the collection you'd want.
Yeah, I would agree on that as well, even though I've only played like a couple of the X games.
X8 is a cool game. X5 through X7 are not.
Paying $20 for one game that's old. I mean, it's not unheard of, I guess, but yeah. At least it's coming to Switch day one this time. So that's a plus for Switch owners.
Yeah.
Speaking of old games, Shenmue 1 and 2 are getting re-released. Not remastered. Re-released with some kind of up-res. They are going to be $30 for both games. I think that's fair. If they were doing more than a sort of half up-res, maybe you can charge more, but I think this is sort of the best you can do for it being on PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and you get to pick between the Japanese or English. I mean, cool, I guess.
I have two thoughts. One is that I'm not going to buy it for myself, but I will try to buy it for my friend Frank, because he was the one who reviewed it for GameSpot, like, way back in the day, and gave it the notorious, like, 6.8 for Shenmue 1 that, like, the fans have never forgiven him for. And the second thing is the game's supposed to have achievements. And I really hope there's like an achievement for like drive forklift in real time for a week.
I would not be surprised if there was one.
It'd be hilarious to me.
Let's do it. Let's make crazy ass achievements, because why not?
Yeah. I mean, do you like Shenmue?
I like it well enough. I thought it's overrated. Like,
I thought it looked impressive, like technically at the time, like it was on Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Like, I didn't like the gameplay at all, and I didn't like the story, and I didn't like the combat.
I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I like its idea, right? For there's games that have come after it that have done this way better.
Yes, it's called Yakuza.
Yeah, Yakuza, even Sleeping Dogs. Alright, sorry about that, the dog. I said he was having some issues.
had a small heart attack.
God. I mean, old games keep having things happen here. We talked about Chrono Trigger on Steam being bad. And at least Square Enix tried to do something about it. They put in a patch that lets you play with the original graphics. So, should have been in there from the beginning, but, you know.
Yeah, I think, but it's Square, and they're not known for their bright ideas most of the time.
I mean, they do great PC ports of games that are recently released. They do terrible PC ports of old games.
Well, it's because they always like just port over the mobile version, and it's like that's not the one people want most of the time. Like, it'd be nice, like, basically just offering the option, like, if you want to play with the SNES graphics and look, you know, you can. Which,
especially since it wasn't on the SNES Classic or whatever, like, just...
No, Chrono Trigger wasn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like, it wasn't, yeah. So why not give them that opportunity?
Like, you have to wonder, like, why it wasn't, like, if, was this the reason? But if it was, why wasn't the original...
That's a really stupid reason, considering, yeah, like...
I got nothing against Secret of Mana, I mean, I haven't played it, but between the two, Chrono Trigger is... probably the more prestigious one.
Or like especially considering Secret of Mana was having a remaster. Like, not too...
Yeah.
Like, Chrono Trigger is not. Ever, probably.
Just wait. They'll get a Kiri Toriyama back in there and have him redo Chrono and everyone else.
That would be amazing, but... I don't know.
Did you ever see that PS1 intro?
Yeah, I had the PS1 version. It's amazing.
Yeah.
He did. Those cutscenes are great. It would be great if they could have them in the voiced PC version.
Yeah. Yeah. But, well, don't worry. After they get done with their Final Fantasy VII remake, you know, in 2025, they'll get working on Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. I doubt that. They'll probably just keep doing something with Final Fantasy VII, I'm sure. Or they'll be on Kingdom Hearts, whatever the hell.
No, but
four by then.
After they're done, they'll start remaking the remake of Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, God. That, you know what? That would be something I could laugh off, but seriously, you have to wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to make it into episodes, who knows how many episodes they'll try to string out of that thing.
So, yep.
They said three, but I could see them easily trying to do way more than three. A lot of stuff with old games this week. So, Microsoft, of course, they're not stupid. They know where their bread is buttered, and that's in old games. Xbox, the original Xbox... backwards compatibility was something that got a lot of attention when it first came out. People were kind of excited about it. They've actually put the games on the digital store so you can buy them as well. And the same thing is going to happen here within two sets. Actually, today, I think, right? I don't know if right now, but probably in a few hours.
Yeah, 2 hours from now.
You can play these games here. Blinks the Townsweaver. We've all been waiting to play Blinks the Townsweaver again. Breakdown, Conquer, Live and Reloaded, Morrowind, which that is a fantastic game. Hunt of the Reckoning, I always thought was underrated. It was a really fun co-op game that I think doesn't get enough credit for making that, you know, the zombie thing happen. Jade Empire, which I know Mark hates that game.
Yep.
Panzer Dragoon Orta, which is fantastic, and SSX3. So, then we have,
like, I of that list, I'd say Orta is probably the one you'd probably want to buy.
Oh yeah,
maybe SSX3.
I definitely want Orta.
I wouldn't say Morrowind because the PC version is probably way better and cheaper.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Is it less than $10?
It has been. Let's say that. Also, really? I don't think it might not be the Game of the Year edition that they're releasing on Xbox. And also, any computer made in the past decade could play Morrowind no problem.
Yeah, that's true too. It's up to you whether if you really want to have it on a console, then it's there for you.
I actually did play Morrowind on consoles. Like, that Xbox version is the one I played. And I got, like, way into it.
Yeah, it was really good for its time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then after that, you get Destroy All Humans. This is on the 26th, by the way. Full Spectrum Warrior, Mercenaries, Playground of Destruction, MX Unleashed, Panzer Elite Action, Fields of Glory. This is only for Europe. Then you get a bunch of Star Wars games. The original Battlefront, along with Battlefront 2. Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, Jedi Starfighter, Knights of the Republic 2, which is the game people have been waiting on. And then Republic Commando, which...
That's an okay game.
if you're into Star Wars, you get a lot of games there, especially if you have the disc still.
Mercenaries, that's the one to get from that list.
Was that the better one, or was it the original?
That's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, Mercenaries 2 is when they fucked it all up.
I did like the Mercenaries game, so... Plus, no microtransactions in these Battlefront two Battlefront did. Games.
Yeah, the original good ones, so...
I think BAFTA's the last of the giving out awards for games from last year, if I'm not mistaken.
They have awards shows every 2 months, it seems.
Yeah, it seems like, yeah, every 2 months we're talking about award shows for games that came out last year. Tim Schafer got, I think, the Lifetime Achievement, what amounts to the Lifetime Achievement Award, probably. Hellblade gets an Artistic Achievement, no surprise. It also gets the Audio Achievement, which is the bigger no surprise. Best game is What Remains of Edith Finch. Okay. Look, I know a lot of people like that game, but... Alright.
I would maybe not say that, but okay.
Best British game, Hellblade.
Yeah. Is there a Doctor Who game this year? We could nominate that instead.
Right. Gorogoro is good. I don't know about debut game, but there's other debut games that are probably better than that. But again, it seems like they're giving Annapurna a lot of love here. Overwatch gets best evolving game. That seems kind of a no-brainer. Super Mario Odyssey gets best family game. Alright. Game Beyond Entertainment, Hellblade. Yeah.
I'd probably say Nier, but that's me.
Yeah, but I think what they're trying to point out is, like, I guess one of those, like, makes you think about it afterwards game, or but Nier also does that, too.
Yeah.
Game Innovation, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Like, I can see that, because, like, they changed the hell out of that formula.
Oh, they did, certainly. I'll give them credit for that, yeah. And it's a different way to also play an open world game too, where they don't have a lot of, it's not just out there set for you, here's where you go, whatever, you got to do a lot of exploring yourself, so.
Oh yeah.
Divinity Original Sin 2 wins for best multiplayer.
That's surprising, like, I'm happy it won, that's kind of surprising to me though.
Yeah, of all the things it was going to win for, multiplayer would not have been one of the ones I'd think of. Music Cuphead, it does have really good music. Like jazz, old school type music from that era. Not my favorite soundtrack of the year, but it's really good music. Just that's fine. Night in the Woods, I wouldn't say has the best narrative. It's probably in the top five narratives. It's well worth being nominated, but you know, Nier is better and Wolfenstein is better, but. All right.
Yep. Divinity might be better also.
Yeah, Divinity might also be better there. Horizon Zero Dawn gets best original property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and not a sequel and not part of an existing franchise, and certainly.
I don't know. I would think that, like, Cuphead could have won that. But... it's fair enough. They probably wanted to give something to Horizon. And Malena Jurgens, who also won the VGA award for this, Best Voice Acting, Best Performer for Hellblade as Senua, which I'm fine with that. She was great in that. And then considering she was not a voice actress really coming into this, and they just liked her voice and picked her, I think that's... fair enough there.
Yeah.
So what's more impressive? A Way Out sells 1 million copies, Shovel Knight sells 2 million copies by now, and a Resident Evil 7 has 5 million worldwide, and I think 7.2 overall.
I'd say probably Resident Evil 7, because Resident Evil 6 bombed so hard.
Yeah, I would say. Shovel Knight selling does not surprise me at this point. They're still coming out with new, what, the Golden Knight thing drops in a couple of days or out now, or I don't know where that stands, but it's not too far off. It's a game you can easily get into. Anybody could play. It doesn't surprise me. Way Out kind of does surprise me that it hit 1 million copies.
Yeah, you'd hope it would give EA like pause about like single player, well, relatively single player games. I mean, it's not obviously, but you know, story based narrative games, but it won't.
They had one out of the two, right? Because Fee didn't do too well. So
I tried to play Fee, and I got nowhere in it. So.
Did you ever actually do the review for Fee?
No, because I couldn't get past the first puzzle.
Sega Japan announced the Mega Drive Mini. You know, this would be great if you didn't have the same people who did the Flashback console do this.
Yeah, at games. So they're going to fuck it all up.
I was like, and also, this really means nothing unless what games are on it.
So, yeah, they already said Sonic 3 is not going to be part of it.
Well, that just continues that whole deal like, with the Michael Jackson.
I mean, honestly, at this point, just replace the song, you know.
Really, you can't, like, did Michael Jackson put a hold on that where you can't, like?
Or just release the song from the estate, like. But, I mean, if Sega just, like, was like, okay, here's Sonic 3, we have to place this one song from, you know, Green Hilltop Zone or whatever, because of the, or Angel Island Zone, I think that's the one, because of this. Fans would probably be like, fine, you know, we'll at least get the game.
Yeah, people would want the game over one song.
But, you know, they're, or like I said, just license the song, but.
I think they're making a big deal out of nothing there. It's like, come on, Sega.
But honestly, it's the fact that they're still at games making this thing makes me want to stay clear away. Like, no way.
Yeah. We'll see how this goes, but it's not like there's not other Sega. Plus, they're releasing a friggin' collection without the need of having a console.
This is already, and aside from like the collections they released for the 360 and PS3, like, last generation cycle.
Yeah, and now we know why they did not release any of those collections for the Switch, because they're going to try to do what Neo Geo is doing and try to make money off of the individual games on the Switch.
The problem with that philosophy is that Neo Geo games are actually worth that. Genesis games aren't.
Yeah, I mean, there's 15 Genesis games that are worth doing that for.
But they wouldn't get them all. Like, they're not
like, I just don't understand why. And this leads me more to believe, again, that either the Virtual Console is not happening, or the Virtual Console is going to be the subscription service, and Sega's trying to milk anything they can before that comes out.
I mean, having a Switch now, I don't think the Virtual Console is going to happen.
Why not?
I just don't think that system's built well enough, like, organization-wise, or, like, the system menu-wise to handle, like, Virtual Console. Because you only get, like, 10 tiles.
They could change that, though. It's a software update.
I mean, they could, but I don't see Nintendo doing that. Like, they never even did that for the Wii. There was only, like, what, 24 tiles? 20 tiles, maybe? And it's like, if you got more, it's like, oh, well. It's like, that's...
Yeah, you had to hit the more button or whatever.
No, that was it. Like, you only had 24 or, like, 36 total. Because I ran into that problem because I had, like, my Wii had a bunch of Virtual Console stuff. And at some point, they were like, well, you can put it on an SD card for you. And then you have to, delete one game and then copy the game over from the SD card for it to be on the system.
Oh, that's annoying.
Like, what kind of bum-ass system is that? Like, just it run off the SD card.
I mean, it's not that hard to just keep creating tiles. I mean, other systems do it.
Yeah.
I mean, ask somebody from Sony. It's not that hard. Y'all are two Japanese companies. I'm sure that they talk to each other.
I don't think it would be hard for them to do a Virtual Console. I just don't think they're interested in it.
I think it's also, they probably want to see how well they're online system is taken to, like, if people actually purchase it
yeah
and they make money from that, then they might say, okay, this is worth funding. But I still think it's well worth it for them to explore the Game Pass type system instead of the way that they did it before. I bet you could get people to actually buy a Switch just for that.
That would, I think the Game Pass idea would all depend on which games they have. Cause I don't think they could get a lot of third-party games. I think it'd just be Nintendo crap, which is
well, still worthwhile. Well, if it's old stuff, then no.
Well, I think, like, even, like, old Nintendo games would be worthwhile, but well, it's Nintendo, so I don't think they see the value in that at all.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean,
again, I mean, just like Sony doesn't see the value in that for, like, PS, is it PS Now?
Yeah, but PS Now, they already made it. They couldn't really do anything with changing. I mean, I don't know how much they would have to do to make it to where, like, Game Pass, where you could download the game and...
Yeah. They could just run it out the system. Which is what, if PS Now was basically, like, download PS3 game on your system and run it, I'd subscribe.
Right, exactly. Start,
but it's not, so it's something like the emulated, or like running off the network or something like that crap, and it's like, this doesn't work for a lot of games.
Yeah, it doesn't. And the man that still does stuff with old games, making big records, of course, the one that has so much glory with Donkey Kong, Billy Mitchell, has his scores disqualified. He says that he's going to show everyone that that is all legit in some form or fashion.
He's going to jump in his time machine and record himself playing the scores.
I mean, cool. I mean, I get it. Like, this is his sort of claim to fame, so protect yourself all you can, whatever, but, you know.
He always comes across as a dickhead, so this is his, like, comeuppance, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It sure is, but it's like, okay. You know, like...
Oh, it's funny that, like, defenses were like, oh, this one guy, this Twin Galaxy referee and, like, gamer also, he's the one who saw me do all this stuff. And that guy also got disqualified for, like, lying about scores. So it's like, you may not want to just, like, point to that guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably some shadiness going on it from Twin Galaxy's point of view, too, but...
I don't think not anymore, because I think Jace Hall took control of it in, like, 2014, and they tried... this is the whole point, is they tried to clean it up. Like, it was the last guy, like, Walter Day. He's the one who kind of... Did you ever watch King of Kong?
No.
Oh, watch that sometime. He comes across as, like, you know, being impartial or whatever, but he comes across as very biased towards Billy Mitchell.
Well, that does not help things at all there.
Like, the whole... One of the cruxes of that movie was, like... It was Steve Wiebe. He recorded... him playing Donkey Kong, like, from his arcade machine on a videotape, and he sent it in, and Walter Day was like, no, you can't, like, your tape doesn't matter, like, you have to play it in front of us or whatever. So he played it, and he got a score, like, that beat Billy Mitchell's, and then Billy Mitchell sent in a tape, and Walter Day just accepted it. And Steve Wiebe was like, what? Like, that's not cool.
Okay, you just told them he couldn't use a tape, but here you are letting Billy Mitchell use a tape. Okay.
Yeah. So I would, like, watch that movie when you get a chance. It's really fun. It's really good and funny. That's where you see, like, Billy Mitchell at his, like, most villainous.
That doesn't surprise me at all, really. But something that, makes me laugh because it should have been addressed from the beginning and it took them this long. Basically, they're doing this now because they're not making any more money off the microtransactions, so they can do this now. Shadow of War is removing their microtransactions because, quote, the core promise of the Nemesis system is to ability to build relationships with your personal allies and enemies in dynamic open world, while purchasing orcs in the market is more immediate and provides additional player options. We had kind of realized that providing this choice risked undermining the heart of our game. What? You just now realize this now? Bullshit.
It's more like lawmakers were sniffing around our loot boxes, so we're yanking this out before they ask us any questions.
You knew that this undermined your nemesis system from the word go. Everybody told you that. In reviews, in fans saying it, we talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah, when I was reviewing it. Yeah.
It's like, come on, man. Stop acting like everybody's dumb. Basically, the government, and probably you're not making what you were making at the beginning from this stuff. So you're going, okay, let's take it out. No big deal. We'll make it look like we did something great. And
apparently they're also trying to fix their Shadow War system, like the grind at the end of the game, like to see the actual
that
ending.
That should have been fixed a long time ago, too.
No, that shouldn't have been in there in the first place.
Yeah. And they're waiting until July.
Yeah, like if you have any gold, it'll be like converted to items or whatever. But it's like items don't matter in that game at all. Like, it's gross. Like, you have to wonder if the loot box stuff actually impacted the game sales much. Because, like, if I didn't get it for review, I probably wouldn't have gotten that game. Just because how gross if I did get that game, I would have got it on PC.
That's sad that how much people love that first game, and then they just, how much they ruined it in the second one.
Speaking of that, guess what game is $15 right now on Amazon?
What game is that?
Metal Gear Survive.
That does not surprise me at all.
Yeah. Came out 2 months ago.
Oof. Konami, you just know how to ruin your games. My Hero Academia's actually their game has a name. It's called One's Justice. It follows the same sort of thing from the game, the way that you battle. It has a sidekick system, sort of a la Marvel's Capcom, where they kind of come in, do their move, and get out. You can destroy stuff. It looks cool. I'm sort of interested in it because I love the anime and everything, but, you know, I don't know that I'm jumping to buy it or anything. Maybe one of those when it gets lower on the price range.
Sure.
I don't think it helped at all that the Sword Art Online alternative, the Gun Gale Online, that the game came out first. And now they're having the anime come out because the game didn't do the anime any favors. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. Yeah. I really feel like I should go play. Like, I watched like 2 episodes of the anime. And I feel like I wish I should go watch. I should go play PUBG or something now. I feel like I learned something from watching that anime, and it was like way too into that. Like, okay, you can tone it down on the tactics and stuff. So Rampage won the weekend because there was nothing out.
But a Quiet Place almost beat it, which is really sad when you think about it.
Well, the movie was not good, so
yeah.
I mean, it's dumb fun, but it's like really, really dumb.
I like how The Rock was like, "Oh, I've been in bad game movies before. Did you ever see Doom?" And it's like, you're in Rampage, dude. Like, this isn't much of a big step up.
How appropriate are the 2 video game based movies? Just that trend just keeps going on.
Yeah.
Sad. I heard Quiet Place is pretty good, though.
Yeah, like, if it was playing around here, I'd see it, probably.
It's a testament that Black Panther is still in 6th.
Yeah.
Making $5 million. Ready Player One is in 4th, made $11 million in Blockers, but John Cena made 10.3. He is now a single again after breaking it off with Nikki Bella, so.
Now, which wrestler do you think Nikki's going to go after next?
She can go back to Dolph again, I guess. He's not doing anything. Yeah. I wonder if they're going to keep going with all the Total Bellas and all that stuff after.
I think now, though, I think for sure, because now it could be like Nikki's dating life.
Oh yeah, well, plus
and they'll have like they'll have skits of her like being on Tinder or something.
The thirsty people on Tinder, man, that's gonna be nuts. Jessica Jones gets season 3. No surprise, really.
Yeah, like I saw the story and I was like, yeah, of course it is. It's getting a season 3. Like, how is this a big shock?
Silicon Valley also gets a season 6.
Yep.
That doesn't surprise me either.
I question how long that show is going to keep going on. That's my big kind of curiosity. Like, it does well enough for HBO, I assume.
Yeah.
But, like, those guys are getting more and more popular. So that's the question. Like,
oh, but they're also not really doing anything else.
That one guy
What's his face? Richard is in the Verizon commercial, but...
No, like Kumali Nanjiani, he came out with, like, that sick movie last year that, like, won a bunch of awards and stuff.
Oh, that's right. I don't watch a lot of the RT stuff, so...
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I've been enjoying this season. Kind of is what
you're at.
Have you been liking the...
My concern is always going to be the same. Like, they're just never going to get... They can't do it, but I want them to succeed. But it's always going to be the sitcom trope of, oh, they'll succeed for one episode and then immediately crash the next episode or something like that.
I feel like they can only succeed when they know it's going to end.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think for them, the whole crux of that is how they keep screwing up every time that they have that opening to succeed.
Yeah.
Or that there's always somebody after them, like Gavin Belson is, you know, still after them and, you know, all that. So.
I'm still kind of waiting for, like, Richard and Monica to hook up.
Yeah, like, that's also one of those, like, they need to, they keep hinting at that, and I wonder if, at this one, I wonder if it's, like, going to be more like Jared and Richard do something, or Richard and Monica do something.
Yeah.
So, because that's, like, always been an undertone of the show, too. So, that's, yeah. We'll see how that goes. Are you excited for Westworld?
Oh yeah, I actually watched the season finale a few days ago.
Yeah, I probably need to rewatch that before it comes on again.
I'm happy my one friend on the show got promoted for season 2.
What friend is that? Somebody I would know or no?
Her name is Tallulah Riley. I forget her name in the show. Because she's in it for a few episodes, but she's not huge. Her name is Angela in the show. She's like one of the attractive hosts.
Oh, okay.
I'll send you a picture of her offline. She's in a few episodes of Doctor Who also.
Ah. Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think...
She was also married to Elon Musk.
Oh, well.
Twice.
Damn, twice. What the hell's going on, Elon?
Well, they got married and split up, and then they got married again.
Okay. Elon, what's wrong with you, man? You got too much of that crazy stuff going on the brain right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a sort of... It's a big week for games. Two big games and one peripheral that will probably be huge for the Switch. And then Phantom Trigger and Wild Guns Reloaded comes out as well. But God of War, of course, on Friday. And Yakuza, which is out right now. Yakuza 6, by the way.
That's a good game.
Yeah, it's a pretty great game. So if you have not played, if you're excited for Yakuza, I'm sure you've already got it pre-downloaded and ready to go. God of War, I'm sure, is the same thing for most people. Of course, you know, that's amazing. Mark will be getting to play it pretty quickly here. And Labo, I have no idea if one of the Switch people, one of the many Switch people that we have on staff are going to get it. I am not. I was, but just not going to spend $70 on that right now. And I don't know. I'm just worried that I'd buy it and then my daughter would lose interest in like a day. And then I'm sitting here with something I just paid $70 for. So,
yeah. If it was like 30, I might buy it, but yeah, not 70.
I'd agree. Like if it was 30, and I can understand if the robot was like 50 or something, but yeah, I can't, right. You know, unless it was like something where she's just like, oh my God, I want to get this right now. And I could see her playing it for weeks, but just, yeah, that's an investment, you know? So you can buy another game for that. That you might want, and you can buy God of War instead, and you'll know you'll enjoy that. So we'll have at least God of War to talk about next week, if not more things. So look forward to that until maybe Saturday, maybe Sunday. We'll see whenever, you
whenever you don't fall asleep.
Yeah, whenever I don't fall asleep. We'll see you then, folks.
Later.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Gotta get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.